5578. Paul, you want to take us through it?
Certainly, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You'll see before you a packet of information with a memo dated May 17th from the Legislative Fiscal Office. Also, there is a copy of the performance measures for the agency titled Legislatively Adopted Performance Measures 2005-2007 that I'll be walking you through. And a copy of the Orbitz Work Session Action Report titled LFO Analyst Recommendations for Geology and Mineral Industries Department. And that I'll be taking you through that as well. First, Mr. Chair, I'd like to walk through the performance measures. As you know...
Maybe I can make a comment for everybody. My understanding, and confirm this for me, is that the House Committee this morning went through the same budget, and this is a mirror image of it.
Mr. Chairman of the Committee, that is correct.
Okay, just for the record. So this should not be controversial as far as the House is concerned, unless we make changes to that.
That is correct, sir.
Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
The performance measurement sheet you see before you reflects the changes that were discussed during the Phase 1 and Phase 2 public hearings for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. Many of the changes you'll see here were brought forward by the agency. Others, LFO is recommending for various reasons. For example, three measures are being deleted because of the addition of the standardized customer service measures that are at the end of the report, you'll see. Another measure is we're recommending be deleted and kept internally by the agency. And one measure is being deleted outright, and that was requested by the agency. There's a number of modifications as well that the department is requesting to be made to make the wording clearer of the performance measures. I'd just like to mention that LFO has worked closely with the department to ensure that the measures reflect what they need to have measured as well as the desires of the subcommittee to make sure that the performance is tracked in a manner they feel is consistent.
On the performance measures 9, 10, 11, and 13, there won't be targets for 06 and 07. Are they going to be developed later?
Mr. Chairman of the committee, that's because those are proposed for deletion.
Okay, those are going to knock out?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if you'll notice that where there aren't any measure, any targets, those are where LFO is recommending the measure be deleted.
Okay. The only one you're adding that is number 14.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, exactly. Number 14 is one that is being added at the request of the department. Number 15 and 16 are the standardized customer service measures that will be included in all agency performance measures.
They're not planning to have targets for those.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what has been decided is that barring any data, we would let agencies accumulate at least 1 year's worth of data and then propose targets for these measures going into the next biennium.
So we'll expect to see blanks there right across all of our budgets we see coming through.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is correct.
Thank you. Please continue, Paul.
Mr. Chair, that is it. I just need a motion to accept the LFO recommendations on the performance measures.
I would move that. Has it been moved? Any objection? There are no objections. We'll accept the performance measures. Paul, do you want to move on to the bill?
Mr. Chair, moving on to B, adjustments to the governor's recommended budget. I would direct your attention to the Orbitz Work Session Action Report with the title LFO Analyst Recommended. This is a standardized report that you'll be seeing with all the agencies coming before you. The first two pages, page 1 of 6 and page 2 of 6, are the summary information for the whole department. What your staff will be doing is working through each program area. So we'll be starting on page 3 of 6 with the geologic survey. As this shows the detail, descriptions, and recommendations for each package. On page 3 of 6 at the top, you'll see the standard adjustments that are essential packages made to develop the essential budget level, in essence, and those are being recommended without adjustment, and that will, again, you will see that uniformly, at least in the budgets that I deal with. Any adjustments, even to essential budget packages, will be dealt with in a separate policy package, usually numbered 800 and something.
In this case, 801.
Yes, or we have a number of packages available to us, Mr. Chair. I'd start with the work session actions for package 090, the analyst adjustments. These are the budget and management adjustments made in the governor's recommended budget. The governor's budget makes some reductions to rent and other services supplies, along with smart buy savings, and LFO is recommending that package without change.
Mr. If the committee is comfortable with this, I'd like to move all the packages at one time, not one by one. Is any objection to that? We can continue to follow.
Okay, Mr. Chair, package 102, earthquake response. This package was included in the governor's recommended budget to add a position to the department to work on seismic hazard mitigation. The department currently has one position working in this area. There is a considerable workload for that staff person. They are seeking an additional staff person to ensure that the requests from local entities are able to be met to deal with this seismic hazard mitigation. This position would be funded with other funds and federal funds only through contracts and grants. as you can see, that adds one position and one FTE. LFO is recommending the package be approved as modified with the PERS adjustments, which reduces $414 of other funds and federal funds to reflect the lower PERS rate. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments. This package deals with the technical adjustments to reflect the lower PERS rate and the Attorney General rate. Both of those rates, you can see the changes in the narrative. LFO staff will be, at least myself, will be using 801 consistently for all these technical adjustments to reflect the AG and the PERS rates changes. So this package would reduce general fund by $13,409, other funds by $5,846, and federal funds by $4,468.
Thank you, Paul.
Finally, package 815 is a reduction to services supplies of general fund services supplies of 3%. This would be a reduction of $22,187. This would be the only other additional general fund reduction recommended by LFO outside of what's included in the governor's recommended budget.
Paul, where's the fee package that's going to be following?
Mr. Chair, that's in the mine land reclamation. I can move on to those recommendations if you'd like. They start on page 5 of 6.
Do you have any questions so far? Pretty straightforward.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Package 070 and package 103 are really kind of work in tandem. Package 070 is a revenue shortfall package. Whenever there is insufficient revenue projected to meet expenditures, agencies are required to include a package that reduces expenditures to line up with the revenue expected. Then in package 103, MLRR fee restructuring, this limitation and FTE are added back to reflect the assumed passage of House Bill 2120, which would restructure fees for mine land reclamation and regulation work. We're recommending the position be limited duration due to the uncertainty of the funding. That bill, the restructuring bill, was just referred out of Joint Ways and Means yesterday, so it'll be working its way through the system. Presumably, since it is a House bill, that the House Special Committee on Budget would get the bill and begin work on that. But LFO is recommending inclusion of the package for assuming passage of the bill. If the bill were not to pass for some reason, the department would have insufficient revenue to make these expenditures. So we're including the limitation under the assumption that the bill will get passed. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments.
Just a second, we'll go back to 103 just for a moment. Paul, make a comment here. My understanding is this, that that House Bill 2120 is a consensus bill. This worked out between the the operators in the department, and that it's something that's just coming forward, and the timing was kind of bad for us on this. From the point of view, we expect to have this bill out probably within a week or so, but the way things are running right now, it'll have to go to the House floor, then it'll come across to us, and I would expect we might very well see the bill in this committee before it goes to the floor of the Senate and then the governor's desk. So it'll be kind of a circuitous process that we normally wouldn't see, but the bottom line of 2120 is that it's expected to pass. It is a consensus bill. We don't know of anybody in opposition to it, so it's very comfortable to go forward with this budget the way we're setting it up. Okay? Correct, Paul?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Sorry to interrupt you.
That's perfectly fine. Package 801, LFO analyst adjustments. Again, this is the package that LFO is using to make the technical adjustments to reflect the lower PERS rate and attorney general rates. Package 810 would eliminate the non-limited other fund monies that have been included in previous Department of Geology and Mineral Industries budgets. This was discussed some in Phase 2, that LFO is looking to limit the use of non-limited other funds strictly to those cases where it is absolutely necessary. And having reviewed the past expenditure patterns of the department with these monies, LFO feels comfortable recommending the elimination of the non-limited other funds and including instead $50,000 of other funds limitation. These monies are for bond proceeds, for reclamation work. If an operator were to leave a mine site or abandon a mine site without doing the reclamation work required of them by the department, holds bonds that they could then use to complete that work. And while there are some very large bonds outstanding, those have, I don't believe in the history that I know of, been used before. I believe the highest use of bond monies in the past 7 biennia that I've been able to find is a little bit under $90,000, and mostly they've been around $10,000. What would happen here is if the department were to have a large bond that they would need to claim and do work with, they would probably have to appear before the emergency board to seek a limitation increase. And so, therefore, LFO is feeling comfortable in recommending the removal of the non-limited other funds and replacing it with $50,000 of other funds limitation. And that, Mr. Chair, is the end of the LFO recommendations.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. I would entertain a motion for all packages in block unless anyone has objections.
I just have a question.
Yes.
In that, if they have to proceed with a bond to clean up, does somebody else sue the company or whatever for defaulting on their obligation to clean up? I mean, or are we just picking up the cost for some company that runs away from their obligation, or do I misunderstand this totally?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, these are bonds that the operators have to pay for and have the authority for the department to hold them in case they do walk away from their operations. So these are not orphan sites or abandoned mine sites in that respect, although I will say that there may be instances where the bond wouldn't cover all the work that needed to be done, and then in that case, some work would be paid for with the bond, and the rest would be similar to an orphan site.
The department or the attorney general's office have the right to go after them on civil suit too in these situations, like any other situation we have a builder. If we hear from the department for a moment, or the agency for a moment.
Mr. Chair, my reason for asking is I just don't like to see people walk away from their obligations. My father had a coal mine years ago. He made sure he cleaned up his mess when he was done. Go ahead.
For the record, my name's Gary Lynch with the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries Mine Land Regulation Regulation and Reclamation Program, and we wholeheartedly agree, Mr. Chair, with what Senator Shields is saying, that we don't want to see anybody walk away. And Chair or Paul is right. The bond, the financial security, is really what it is. There's two forms of financial security we'll accept for a bond in most cases, and that is a surety bond, which it looks and smells at least like an insurance policy and an irrevocable letter of credit. And for the most part, and particularly it's about 7 or 8 years ago now, we realized too many sites were underbonded, and we made a concerted effort, and our bond load went from $5 million to over $20 million now. So most sites are properly bonded. Occasionally, we can have somebody that just, you know, the bulldozer just decides to get free will and off they go, and we can suddenly have a bond obligation greater than what we're holding. But that is the importance of us going to the field as often as we do, and that doesn't slip by too often. And we do, on average, we now average pulling about 4 bonds a year. And when I say bonds, again, I'm financial securities that are either bonds or irrevocable letters of credit. There's a few small assignments of deposits out there, which are like cash.
What do you mean when you say pulling 4 bonds a year? What does that mean?
That means
translate that into English.
That means that, Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, that 4 operators are in default of their reclamation plan or permit.
4 out of what number?
800.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
And I assume that when you pull a bond, the bond pays for the work to be done, and then often the bond company is going to go after the operator to say, we paid the bond and we expect you to pay us, or we won't bond you again. That's the kind of process.
That's correct.
But that's out of your hands.
Mr. Chair, it isn't. Once they default on a bond, we'd have the authority not to ever issue them a permit again. In addition, if this all gets started, I apologize, but what happens if there's not enough money in the surety? And long story short, there are other measures. We can put a lien against property, equipment, that type of thing. Sometimes that's a long list, but it gets their attention. And then there is civil penalty authority as well.
You feel you're well covered in this, basically, then? But the process has worked.
Mr. Chair, frankly, there's room for improvement, particularly on the penalty side, I think. We're working on that. We have a bill in this time. Frankly, I don't know if it's going to survive or not, but we continue to work on that. We certainly have upgraded it a number of different sessions. I think there's one more step to go, and I'm not sure when we're going to get there, but we're close.
Thank you.
Thank you for indulging me, Mr. Chair.
It was actually interesting. I know that stuff myself. So, with no objection, I would like to move the policy packages as a group.
I'll move the policy packages as a group.
No objection? Passed. Paul. Forms measures. Now the governor has recommended budget adjustments.
Right. Mr. Chair just completed most of the dollar adjustments, but there is one proposed budget note that you will see that affects not only this department, but the Department of Environmental Quality, Department of State Lands, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Department of Land Conservation and Development, and the Water Resources Department. This budget note has been approved by the chairs of both committees for inclusion in the budget reports for these agencies, including the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. What this budget note looks at getting at is ensuring that there is some efficient delivery of water-related permitting programs, and particularly the remove fill projects and programs operated at the Department of State Lands and permitting associated with the aggregate mining activities, although by no means would the work of the Office of Regulatory Streamlining be limited to those two projects. As you'll see, that there is a requirement that the agencies report back to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee 2 times, once before May by the end of April and once by the end of December of 2006.
This is something we're going to see over and over again in each one of these budgets, and it's an attempt to streamline this, obviously, and there's overlapping permits. Do you have any questions about this?
When this was done, were there any comments about streamlining, maybe zooming past an environmental concern of some sort? I mean, I like streamlining, and I want services delivered.
The only
just wanted to make sure that we don't compromise environmental protections in the process.
The only comments I heard on this, and they were secondary, was that this has become so complex and so difficult that it is significantly impacting abilities to for the agencies to work and for some of the extractors to work, and that they felt there were enough environmental safeguards still there not to be concerned. However, I can take that back to the co-chairs to discuss it further.
Well, I'm just raising the issue.
Would the agency like to comment to that?
Yeah.
I think it's a good question we can ask each and every one coming through.
For the record, I'm Vicki McConnell, the director of DOGAMI. Senator Bates, chair, and Senator Shields. The meeting that we originally had to discuss the concept of streamlining the water-related and water quality and water-related permitting and permitting related to aggregate certainly covered those concerns. And the attempt here, the idea here is to, I'm going to attempt to paraphrase Representative Morgan, and probably shouldn't, but there was to the knothole of permitting that sometimes happens when you're looking at both the removal fill and the aggregate mining. But in no way was that the idea or any of the concept to weaken any of the environmental quality or any of the protections that are in line for those. That's not in the works at all. And I think that with the group of natural resource agencies that we have here, that both from the environmental quality permitting streamlining and that link with some of the land use issues will be well covered.
I might ask that same question to other agencies that come mm-hmm. through. That's a good question. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, now we just need a motion to approve the budget note and include it in the budget report for the department.
I would move so moved.
Senator Nelson so moves. Do I hear any objection? There are no objections, so ordered. Recommend change to appropriation bill.
Mr. Chair, these are the recommended amendments to the appropriation bill for the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. You can see that this is to insert the contents of House Bill 5032 into Senate Bill 5578. House Bill 5032 is the original budget bill that was introduced into the Joint Ways and Means Committee with the following changes. deleting $2,948,178 and inserting $2,912,582 for general fund appropriation. In section 2 for the other funds, deleting $3,141,881 and inserting $3,176,299. And also including a piece that allows the department to expend federal funds for contract services as other funds. And as I was explaining this morning, that many of the natural resource agencies do contract work for the federal government. And by and large, when that occurs, those revenues and expenditures are booked as other funds, not as federal funds. We attempt to keep federal funds clean for the kinds of things like grants, mostly grants, sometimes pass-through revenue, for example, the Department of Environmental Quality for air quality, water quality work. And so that we just want to make sure that the department has the authority in their budget bill to do that. Most of the other natural resource agencies have this clarification already in their budget bill, but when reviewing the introduced bill, LFO noticed that this department did not have that ability. They do this kind of work. They expend these dollars as other funds. We just want to make sure that everything is very clearly legal. C is other funds again, and we're just just making sure that there's the clarification in that section. Section D is the non-limited other funds. This is the part we discussed of eliminating the department's non-limited other funds ability, and we increase their other funds limitation in Section 2. And finally, Section 4, federal funds, and that would be to delete $2,159,064 and insert $2,153,274.
And I assume, Paul, that House Bill 5032 was passed out by the House subcommittee this morning. With these amendments,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, actually, House Bill 5032 is the original bill in Joint Ways and Means Committee. The House did a similar thing with a blank House bill, just as you are doing with a blank Senate bill.
So 5032 is still a vehicle.
It is still a vehicle available to the Joint Committee if they were to ever begin operating again.
Thank you. I want to keep that clear as we go along in case this gets put back together. Thank you, Paul, for your careful reading and explanation of that and saving me from stumbling through it. I did notice a typo in there, which we won't go into. I would entertain a motion to accept the recommended changes to appropriation bill as read by LFO.
I would so move.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Any objections? Hearing none. So moved. Final subcommittee action.
Want me to move Senate? I'll leave the whole thing. Bill 5578 as amended to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Nelson. Any objections? Hearing none. So a couple comments real quick before we close the work session. This is the first general fund budget going out. We have agreement on both sides of this, which I appreciate. I'm hoping we can work together some more in the future. We may or may not. Small numbers will make it easy for us to do this. There's probably not much to change. So I'm not concerned about this budget. Tomorrow we're going to be looking at LCDC, and there's going to be some controversy here. We're going to work part of that in the work session. We're not going to work the entire bill because we just don't know some things right now, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. I understand we may not have the same votes every time we go through this. I expect that, and I understand that. I expect it, and say respectfully, I understand. So I don't expect anyone to walk any planks in this committee, and I expect they will. We'll have more contentious stuff coming up next week. Please call me anytime you want to talk about this stuff, anything you have brought up, anything that we can reach agreement on with both sides of the building I think are important at the subcommittee level, though it may be difficult to do. And I want to keep working in that direction as much as we can. I'll be talking to Chair Morgan about this also. Paul, anything else?
Mr. Chair, that is it.
And we need a carrier for this.
I'll do it.
And carry it for us. Yes. Thank you very much.
Spirit of everything.
Well, you and I are the only ones that are full away from me.
That's so right. I don't get to carry nothing.
It's you or it's I. Thank you very much. The session is closed. Thank you.